Welcome to our roundtable panel for this December 23rd. I'm Joe Donahue. It's a delight to have you with us. We welcome your input roundtable at wamc.org, roundtable at wamc.org. We have a terrific panel before us. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Yo.
And still nursing a cold, and you sound a little better. Little.
Yeah, no question. I'm coming around the mountain.
All right. Excellent. And Libby Post, political consultant extraordinaire, joins us. Libby, good morning. How are you?
Hi.
Do you have headphones at work?
No.
All right. How about now?
Now I hear Alan.
All right. There you go.
You sound good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're there and not here.
Now you gave away the secret.
Sorry.
Good morning. Welcome. We have a lot to talk about, so let's get started. So, U.S. President Barack Obama had a press conference on Friday, a much-anticipated press conference, sort of an end-of-the-year wrap-up. He has brushed aside a suggestion that 2013 was the worst year of his presidency. He voiced frustration with political gridlock and immigration and gun control, but was upbeat on the economy. Asked to name his biggest mistake of the year, he spoke about his troubled health care laws rollout, conceding, "Since I'm in charge, we screwed up." And he is now in Hawaii celebrating the holiday, and we'll be back for a new fresh year of hell after a few days of R&R. Alan, I mean, I guess, how would you think of the year in review for the president?
Well, you know, I think it's been a tough year. I think that the Republicans decided the moment this guy took office that they weren't going to give him a moment's peace. They were going to make him look, I mean, he won the presidency, but they were going to try to take it away from him. Reminds me a little bit of the time that I was elected president of the general organization at Joan of Arc Junior High School. And the lady who had her precious little darlings running against me, the head of the IGC intellectually gifted class, decided I was going to get nothing to do. And when Eleanor Roosevelt came to the school, gave the check to the second vice president, there never was one before, to give. Now, that may seem crazy to all of you who are listening right now, but it was my first independent political experience about life not being fair. And I think that the way in which the president has been treated has not been fair. Now, as far as his way of doing business is concerned, I would like him to be a little bit more forceful. The press conference to me sounded a little bit too, you know, laid back. I think that what the American people want is leadership. And I think he has to say it. I think he has to come out strong and do it. And I think he has to say much of what I just said about the Republican approach.
When you look at the year in review, a government shutdown, the botched rollout of the healthcare website, and leaks about mass surveillance by the NSA, just to name a few of the issues that the president and the administration had to contend with over the previous 12 months. Libby, any thoughts on this?
Well, you know, the healthcare rollout really was botched, but it's getting a lot better now, and people are signing up. You always end up laying everything at the leader's feet, but not everything was his responsibility, or not that it wasn't his responsibility. He didn't have everything to do with it. The NSA stuff was around a lot before he was elected president. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that the economy is growing at a faster rate. It's over 4% now. People are getting back to work. Things are doing better. Whether or not Christmas sales are going to be as great as everybody had wanted, we don't know yet. But nonetheless, you know, the economy is growing. I mean, I can feel it in my own business that the economy is doing better. And, you know, I agree with Alan. He has to show a little more backbone, a little more in your face kind of stronger leadership style than he does now. But we're going into 2014, and we all know he's a great campaigner.
And Libby, the one thing it seems to me that he really gets bad marks for, as you have just said, is the healthcare thing. But everything else, I don't know that he's lost on.
No, I don't either. And I think that, you know, the people who the people on the right, you know, hate his guts, and you know, I'm not even going to try and change their minds. But there are people on the left who are so disappointed with him because he hasn't been able to be 100% everything that they want. And they expected a savior. And I'm sorry, but Barack Obama is not a savior. He's a politician. He's somebody who has his heart is in the right place, and he's trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I think you're right. It turns out that in the case of both Bill de Blasio in New York and Barack Obama, mm-hmm. That people project into them
yes.
what they think they should be as opposed to what they are. And, you know, everybody thought that Obama was going to be exactly what they wanted. They thought he would be for universal health care. He never was. And they project into him their expectations after all of those years of the Bushes. And they didn't get it.
Right, and they get disappointed, and they have to be realistic.
Yeah.
They have to grow up.
When you say...
To you.
Both of you said that, you know, he needs to be
Roselle
more...
always says that to me. She always says, G-U.
G-U.
Both of you said that he had to be more upfront, more in your face, and I'm interested in because what we know of this guy is that that's not really his style.
Right.
His style is to be more laid back, is to be pensive, to be thoughtful, and yes, he can campaign. He's a great campaigner. He can give a great speech, but you got to wind him up first. And I guess I ask the question of if not this. You know, what will get him wound up?
Well,
you know, go ahead, Libby.
Sorry. Yeah, it's, if not this, I think he's pretty wound up. I think that, you know, he shows it in a different way. Everybody wants him to come out with guns blazing, and he wants to get something done. Look what happened in the last month. We have a 2-year budget deal. You know, things have happened. The Republicans understand they have killed their credibility and they have really undermined their brand. And they went in wanting to have a deal so that they wouldn't be tagged with another government shutdown in 2014 going into the midterm elections. So things are changing, and you have to look at the president and say he had something to do with this because of the way he deals with people. But also because, you know, behind the scenes, we don't know what goes on. And I'm sure he's a lot tougher behind the scenes than we know. But again, you know, it's about where we're going to be 12 months from now, who's going to be controlling the House and the Senate. And I think we'll see the stronger Barack Obama come out.
Alan?
You know, Libby and Joe, I think to some degree, this is not going to be a popular statement, but to some degree, the fact that the House is in Republican hands is his fault. He wasn't strong enough fighting them when that election occurred. He didn't get going the way he did, and he is paying a tremendous
yes.
price for their having the House. I think it didn't just happen that they arrived. It happened because he didn't fight hard enough at the time.
When you think about what more could he have done as far as fighting? Is that resources?
Well,
is that putting your arm around?
It's leadership. It's leadership style. You know, we've learned a lot from history. You know, Harry Truman went after them with everything he had, resulting in "Give 'em hell, Harry." Wherever he went, when he wasn't supposed to win, he won big in the election. So from my perspective, it is a matter of style. Staff means a great deal in the White House. Chief of staff, who you are, who's running things. But in the end, you know, Franklin Roosevelt didn't find his meter until things got really tough and going. And then he became a leader. I think that's what you absolutely have to do as president.
Well, I also think in 2010, nobody really expected the kind of virulent backlash from the Tea Party because of having a black man in the office. And I think that caught everybody off guard. I think many of us thought, oh, please, come on, you know, grow up, get a grip. You know, this is just the reality of the situation. But there's a lot of people out there that is that are still incredibly angry about having a person of color in the White House, and that's how they vote.
There are a lot of people in this country who are still fighting the Civil War, and
that's
I'm not
right.
kidding.
I know.
Go down south, and see how many Confederate flags you see.
I know.
Well, yeah. I mean, go to northern counties of New York and see how many Confederate flags.
Well, that's why I usually try to stay above the Mason-Dixon line at all costs. Except, of course, if I go to the east coast of Florida, then it's like going to New York.
Right. No different.
Right.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation, then have a news break at the bottom of the hour. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to the Roundtable's panel on WAMC.
Support comes from Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop, Saratoga Springs, featuring Tilly hats with a UPF 50 sun protection rating and a lifetime guarantee. Seasonal and year-round styles for men and women. WBU.com/Saratoga Springs. The Research Foundation for SUNY, collaborating across the state to expand New York's innovation ecosystem. RFSUNY.org. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. And A New Leaf Used Books, Pine Plains, New York, an independent bookstore with 7 rooms of books, fiction, poetry, history, gardening, cookbooks, and more, open daily 12 noon to 5 p.m. A New Leaf Used Books on Facebook.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Libby Post, Alan Chartok, I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We should note that today marks the last day to sign up through the federal and state health exchanges to have insurance coverage beginning January 1st. And while government officials said that the federal site healthcare.gov can handle a last-minute rush of consumers, there's still fear that the word may not be getting out to the people who most need to enroll. But as far as the technical part of this, it seems to be in good shape. The president reinforced this on Friday during his news conference. So I guess now, Alan, we just watch the numbers come in, right?
Well, that's right. You know, it is crucial that enough people sign up, because if they don't, the program fails. The whole price point of this thing, the whole pricing is dependent on everybody getting going. And if there are those people, and there are, who think, I'm just not going to do it, the heck with it, they're not going to do anything to me. If that happens, I think we're talking potential disaster.
For the deadline, the people who are covered, the groups of people to sign up today to have coverage in January include those whose pre-existing condition insurance plans will end as of December 31st, those who lost coverage when insurers canceled 2013 plans that did not meet the required standards of the Affordable Care Act, and people in states where Medicaid is scaling back. So that's basically who we're talking about for this deadline, and then there are other deadlines as well, but that's who's immediately impacted by this. And I wanted to make mention of that. Let's go on to other stories in the news. And it's the big business story. It's certainly made a lot of headlines across the nation. And that is the iPhone in China. And I have to say, I guess I was not aware that the iPhone was not that big of a deal in China. I didn't know. So now what will happen? Because they sort of already have, you know, we kind of grew up on the introduction of the smartphone through Apple and other
products. Yeah, but they have it through other, they have smartphones there.
Oh, yeah, they have smartphones.
You know, they have smartphones.
But
there,
now it's the biggest carrier.
Right. It's, China Mobile is their biggest carrier. It's the world's largest carrier, and they'll be providing service through iPhones. So it's really, according to this from the LA Times, it's like going to be the shot in the arm that Apple needs to get over its doldrums. I mean, it's taken a hit since Steve Jobs died. Tim Cook's a great guy, but, you know, from a personality point of view, from that leadership point of view, he's not Steve Jobs, and they need something. They need a shot in the arm, and this might just be it. It'll be interesting to see how Apple deals with China's political need to restrict information and what they're going to do about that.
And
that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, you know, the real question is, if in fact they cave each time, what does that do to their reputation in
mm-hmm.
this country?
Mm-hmm. It's true, especially in the information wars we're having, where we want everything out there. It's going to be an interesting thing, and it's going to be a balancing act, that's for sure.
And this is, you know, it's one of those things that I don't also, when we talk about the doldrums of Apple, but it seems like they're everywhere. You know what? I mean, it seems like it has infiltrated every part of everybody's life. You go in near an Apple store and you just see just swarms, right. thousands of people. You know, it's hard to believe that they're troubled in any way.
Well, you know, it seems as though their sales margins are down. And they need something to bring it back up. You know, the other tablets, I mean, you know, I have an iPad. I've got the iPhone. I'm a Microsoft person in terms of,
yeah,
you know, all the other stuff. And the commercials that have been on about the warring tablets and the price structures and how good each one is, you know, the apps that you get on your smartphone and your smart tablets are just as robust. And so, you know, while Apple was the first one into the market, everybody else has caught up and caught up pretty well. So it'll be interesting to see if this is what can keep them on top. You know, I have friends who like bought Apple early and wow, you know, the shares were worth $1,000, $1,500 and that's plummeted. So people are looking for something to get their investments back up.
I think a lot depends on who you are, Libby. If you're me, 72 years old and you have a cold. No, and if you have
but you look great for feeling so sick.
Yeah. If you have a problem with technology, and many of us do, then you go to the people who you don't take chances. If you're a tech guy, our David Gillette is certainly that. Then from the very beginning, you choose something else, and you say, "Oh, this is just as good." But there are those of us who really want the confidence that an Apple brand has behind it. I think that's probably why you have the phone and the tablet, and it's why I have it. But of course, you're much younger than I, having taught you in college all those years ago.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, dear.
And mm-hmm. there's an accessibility to it, and it's mm-hmm. nice having that cross platform and having everything there. And it is there's an easiness to it.
Well, the battery life for me is what was the difference. The iPhone lasted a lot longer than the smartphones, but now with the new operating system, the battery life isn't what it used to be. So there's all this controversy around that as well.
That's interesting because, you know, go ahead. I just was going to say that when I went from the 4, which was running out of juice all the time, to the 5, it's astounding how much longer the battery lasts. I think there may be some planned obsolescence in all of this, but that's just a hypothesis.
You think?
In other words, after a while, after a while, the battery isn't supposed to last that long.
Right. You have to upgrade.
Right. And the thing about an iPhone is you Joe Person, can't open it up on your own. I could go and change the battery on my smartphone any day of the week, but you can't do that on an iPhone.
No, it's a self-contained, very insular.
Right.
You know, let's face it, they're just trying to help us be cool by having the new version.
That's true.
What they're trying to do.
It's very true.
Just
and
trying
we
to
need
make
all
us cool.
The help we can get.
That's right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue with many other topics and a lot of good stuff to talk about. We always welcome your comments. We'll get to your letters as well. Roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. We will continue on the Roundtable after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Sorry, I let the music go too long. That was my fault. I was looking at the letters, and we got a few of them. I'd like to get to them before we get to more topics, and we always welcome your comments at roundtable@wamc.org. Ted makes a point and says about Apple products and says another advantage of Apple is the lack of virus problems, which he believes is worth mentioning, and I would agree. Mm-hmm. We also got this from a listener who said 2 points regarding the president that we need to remind one another about. One, the president is strategic in his thinking and in his public comments and public analysis and reflection. His core belief is that there are some moderate Republicans and moderate independents who can be won over on some things. He's very careful about alienating them. Two, regarding what liberals want, it's good to remember that we become disappointed when someone doesn't meet our expectations. In this case, what we expect of this unique politician, we want our president to stick it to the bad guys and call out the idiots and do what we want done by the letter right now. But this is a careful, reasonable president who understands 360-degree ramifications of what he says or does. We do not know these things or what the inside strategy is. Also, the point is made by John, who says Obama can't be tough for one very simple reason. Why do you what do you call an assertive or tough black American man? Mm-hmm. So there is that issue as well. Finally, this note regarding health care to your disaster point. Please differentiate between single payer as Canada versus the pool style that Obamacare is trying to launch. Could we visit the Canada type if Obamacare falls off the track? And well, we may have left that.
Well, we just have to remember this wasn't health care reform; it was health insurance reform.
Good point.
And there's a big difference between the two.
As for the other letter, I found the business about being strategic and in the middle of the range. This is a president with some very, very low marks right now, public opinion marks. And so the strategy may have been to win over the middle, but the middle are the ones who make the difference in the in these polls, and they're not going for it. I think that ought to be said.
Good point. We always welcome your comments. We'd love to read your letters on the air. Roundtable@wamc.org. I want to get to some other issues in the news. Let us talk about Utah and the fact that a federal appeals court on Sunday declined to stop officials in Utah from issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples following a judge's ruling last week that overturned the state's ban on gay marriage. Utah Governor Gary Herbert asked for an emergency stay to prevent marriage licenses from being issued to same-sex couples after U.S. District Judge Robert Shelby on Friday ruled the ban unconstitutional. The parties are due back before Shelby today as the state begins to appeal his ruling. The ruling, which made Utah the 18th state to allow same-sex nuptials, marked a major victory for gay rights activists in a conservative state where the Mormon Church wields considerable influence. And there are states, Libby, and then there are states, I assume.
Oh, there are states, and then there are states. And this is a great state for this to happen in. And if you read the decision, Judge Shelby really just picks apart the old chestnuts that the folks who are against same-sex marriage used to say that it shouldn't be like that we're not qualified to marry because we can't procreate. He talked about, well, what about a postmenopausal woman who gets married? She can't procreate either, that it's a new right, which it's not, which tradition and history has always recognized marriages between one man and one woman, and how that perspective is discriminatory, that prohibiting same-sex marriage doesn't discriminate on the basis of sex, that their constitutional amendment was not passed out of an animus against same-sex couples. Well, then why do it in the first place if it wasn't about fear? And that banning same-sex marriage promotes responsible procreation. Opposite-sex couples make better parents. And when you talk about this, you know, I've talked about junk science before, and there are so many junk science, quote-unquote, sociological studies out there that show same-sex parents are bad parents, where the academic rigor of the studies that are out there that are recognized all over as being the right way to do research show that there's no impact. There's no negative impact about having two moms or two dads. What you need are two loving parents, and that's what it's all about. So this is a great decision, not only for the folks in Utah who are getting married by the droves right now, but just in general for the arguments that Judge Shelby really sort of examined and showed how fallacious they were.
You know, I'm interested in the politics of the situation. You know, you have a governor who clearly knows which way the wind is blowing. And, you know, he comes out and he says, I want an emergency stay. You know, we've seen it all before. Favas standing in the,
right.
in the door of the, you know, of the high school and all the rest of it. That's crazy. But then you get a judge, and the judge comes along, as judges do, and says, I have the independence. I have the ability to do this thing. And they do. So thank God for the judges in a case like this. There are times I go the other way.
Well, you know, the Supreme Court's decision this June has really laid the groundwork, because it has forced the government, the federal government, to recognize same-sex marriages in states where it exists. And under the Obama administration, more has been done for the LGBT community. And, you know, now Social Security rights are ours. All kinds of rights that straight married couples take for granted on the federal level are now ours.
So you look at a state like Utah where this happens, and you say, okay, well, if Utah, why then, like, is Pennsylvania having trouble? That's what I don't understand, sort of how
this is the
political framework.
Right. Well, remember, this is a judge that made this decision.
Right.
In Pennsylvania, if it goes to the courts, we'll see. It's, you know, this guy's an Obama appointee. So who knows who it is that's on the federal. I don't know who it is who's on the federal court that covers Pennsylvania. But they are getting into the courts, and there's going to be legislation as well. I mean, things are happening all of the East Coast up until Pennsylvania, have marriage equality. All of New England, you've got Minnesota, Iowa, Utah, Illinois, now New Mexico, California, Washington State. It's really, we're at 18 plus the District of Columbia. We're getting to that tipping point where there's no going back.
And that tipping point, right. And that tipping point, obviously, is when a judge in one jurisdiction does it, it gives a certain amount of pause and a certain amount of courage to some of the other judges to do the same thing.
That's right. And I missed Hawaii. They're the other state.
And a year and 3 months ago, had we been having this discussion,
no.
it would be six states,
right.
and the District of Columbia. Now we're looking at 18. So I ask you to forecast a bit in a year. Where do you think we'll be?
I think we'll be at 25. I think we'll be at half the country. Right now, 38% of the U.S. population lives in states that either have the freedom to marry or honors out of state. You know, I think that the winds of change are certainly in our favor, and we're looking at there are some other states that are being seriously looked at right now for legislative initiatives. And, you know, I think we're going to see some real change.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue on another matter but related, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from SUNY Ulster Online, introducing Fast Finish for adult learners with online accelerated courses for associate's degrees in as fast as 17 months. SUNYUlster.edu/fastfinish. And Adams Fairacre Farms, Kingston, Poughkeepsie, Newburgh, and Wappinger, filling orders for holiday gift baskets with fruits, cheeses, chocolates, specialty foods, and more. AdamsFarms.com.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols is being sung by a choir and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright.
Welcome back to the roundtable and our panel. Alan Chartok is here, Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And we would love to hear from you. We want to talk a little bit about the Duck Dynasty story. We mentioned this on Friday, and we all said, oh, we wish Libby were here to talk about this. So. Libby is here today, so and certainly it's not a story that's gone away. The boycott positions petitions rather against Duck Dynasty, their home at A&E. They are a lot of people are boycotting and are upset with A&E for taking the show off. The network is staying quiet. And the network on Wednesday said that they would indefinitely suspend Phil Robertson, one of the stars of the highly rated reality series. A&E has yet to publicly clarify what the future of the show might be, what they'll do with their block of reruns, or even what it really means to indefinitely be suspended. So there's a lot of questions on that front. The network's lack of communication has done nothing to stem the tide of detractors who strongly disagree with its decision to put Robertson on the bench over remarks quoted in GQ magazine, in which he calls homosexuality a sin, citing the Bible. A Change.org petition demanding that Robertson be reinstated and the network issue an apology was steadily climbing toward 1,000 signatures over the weekend. So here we are with this issue, and I guess while we see this battle out in the courts over gay marriage, we can also see on the grassroots of how people feel about this particular individual and his rights.
Well, Sarah Palin has weighed in. All of the Looney Tunes on the right have weighed in about, you know, that his freedom of speech, because there's freedom of religion, it's his right to say whatever he wants. And I think that this is the one of the pinnacle issues of our time is, does freedom of speech and freedom of religion, does that give you the right to discriminate? And, you know, that's the issue here. And, you know, no, Christ never said anything about homosexuality in the Bible. So, you know, it was Leviticus. It was my book. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that he can say what he wants, but he's now a public persona. And, you know, nobody got all hot and bothered when A&E put Dwayne Dogg, the bounty hunter, Chapman, on hiatus because he said a racial slur. Okay. Right. But they're all rallying around the Phil Robertson flag because it's around gay issues. And this is still
a lightning rod. Well, arguably also the program is a lot more popular.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, this is like
I've never watched it.
Well, I don't watch it either. But it's a juggernaut. I mean, the thing is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go into any store without seeing the merchandising. I mean, no, it's they're tops on the bestseller list. I mean, there's a huge cultural impact that the show has had, which I think certainly adds to its issues.
Sure. I don't know. I think that he is homophobic at best, and the media and A&E in particular are trying to be responsible to all of its audience and to recognize that being anti-gay, being incredibly homophobic, like like Phil Robertson is being, you know, liking it to bestiality and all the rest of the age-old chestnuts, is just not acceptable anymore. And it really is about, you know, when does freedom of religion, and that's what they call it, that's what Sarah Palin is couching this in, does that give us the freedom to discriminate? And, you know, we said no to that when it came to slavery because people use the same argument.
Yeah.
You know, during that time when we had slavery in this country.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, because my issue with this issue is that to me it would be a bigger deal if it was said on the show. The fact that it came from an individual in his quote unquote private life while being interviewed.
Well, then it's no longer private. It's in GQ.
No. I understand that, but not the quote unquote character that he plays on TV.
That you
lose your job for. Like, I can see a broadcast company taking a broadcaster or a talent to task for something that they said on their program. And this is a case where he is being interviewed. He's sharing his personal views, which are not expressed on the show.
Well, Paula Deen never used the N-word on all of her Food Network shows either, but it came out in a deposition.
Right.
And she lost it. She lost her shows.
Empire. Yeah.
Right. She lost her empire. I mean, this is about us recognizing, and this isn't about thought police. It's not about political correctness. It's about basic human decency, that all of us, regardless of who we love, regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of our religion, deserve basic respect and human rights.
I agree with you entirely. The only difference I would draw between Paula Deen and the Sybil Robertson case is one is how you are treating another human being,
mm-hmm.
in this case of how Paula Deen treated another human being, an African American, and how this guy decided to explain his religious views. And to me, there's a difference there. But
yeah.
Alan, what do you think?
Well, of course, you know, I'm certainly with A&E on this. And, you know, I like the fact that they have a line and that they say you cross this line, you're out. As Ray Graff pointed out, and, you know, he's a guy who thinks about both sides of all of these issues. It was A&E's right to do it. Now it'll be interesting to see what happens when they get clobbered in by the mail or by people who are homophobic or all of the other folks, whether they stand tall. You know, we've seen this before, Jimmy the Greek and so many others. And it turns out that no matter how popular they are, they don't get another chance. I mean, you know, we've seen it again and again and again. So, you know, I like the outcome, but there's going to be a hell of a debate over this. By the way, Joe, I want to correct you, I think, on one thing. I actually was flipping the channels last night, and guess what I saw? I saw the duck program. It was there.
Oh, yeah, it's
so
still
on. So it's not
on.
Off yet.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's not off yet. The
premiere's coming in January, and he's going to be on it. It's the fifth season because it's already been taped, but it's going to see what happens in the sixth season. And by then, you know, this whole thing might blow over, and he'll just slip right back in. You never know.
Yeah, and I mean the question is, because I think it was such a part of their schedule that it was on,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's on every day, and while he is suspended from the show, yes, the show continues. Although I do believe that there was a new special that was supposed to go on that was that they sort of moved around and put a new date to kind of wait and see what happens. So, because there was a Duck Dynasty special on December 11th that did air, so we'll see what happens.
Think about the amount of money that these guys are going to lose as a result of this. I mean, you know, they had a very successful business to begin with. But with these duck calls and everything. But, you know, this is just really a whack at their empire.
Absolutely. And also, of course, A&E. And where do they draw the line? And as you said, Alan, and rightfully so, you know, at some point you're going to have to stand up and or do you bow to pressure and move on? And it'll be interesting to see what they do over the next year. Because I just don't believe, I can't believe that they're going to let this franchise get away from them.
No, because I think that someone else will pick it up. Some other network would pick it up anyway. Some other network that really doesn't, you know, like the Christian Broadcasting Network or one of those other ones that could use a good commercial base. I don't know, Alan, if their business is going to take that much of a hit. to be honest with you. I saw saw a lead-in into the news last night, but I was watching The Sound of Music, so I didn't watch the news on delay, that some local business, you know, is taking up their cause, some local chain. And I don't know, maybe it's Cracker Barrel, because that goes right along with their politics, too. I don't know who it is yet. But, you know, how many of us, you know, go out and hunt ducks and...
No, it's not only hunting them, it's imitating them.
Oh, the imitating part?
Actual calling.
It's a calling?
There's a part of me...
It's a call and duck
response. ...which would like to have one of those things. You know, just go outside, blow the thing, and see whether a duck came to visit me.
Well, we have deer every morning in our front yard, and we don't have a salt lick, so you never know.
That seems to be there seems to be more to that statement, Alan. I don't.
Yeah. Well, it's a little ducky.
Just to clarify, Cracker Barrel took products off the shelf and then put them back on the shelf over the weekend.
Okay.
The other thing about those duck calls, and I'm looking for a figure because I was stunned, but those things are expensive. I mean, we're talking a couple hundred bucks.
Are they really?
For these hand made duck calls. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. My big thing is I was going to get Rosella a Hanukkah Christmas present, and it was either going to be a duck or a turntable. I haven't decided yet.
A real duck or a duck call?
No, a duck caller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that you don't miss dinner?
Not.
You know, why don't you go with the turntable? Let's go with
with something safe.
Yeah, they have a Homeland Security duck call, $150.
Oh,
so there
God.
You go.
We're out of time.
We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. It'll be the three of us again tomorrow.
Yes.
So we'll say this is round one. We'll be back tomorrow for our Christmas Eve edition. Alan, be well and take care of yourself.
And Libby's coming down with something, so I hope, I'm just glad I'm not there, because otherwise she'd blame me.
Yeah, no, I'm not. It's just the usual, but thank you.
Okay. Just the usual atmosphere.
Just the usual
atmosphere.
Right.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.